I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, you got to do the rest of us a favor. You got to get out of the left lane. If you're a fraidy cat, that's okay. Still got to get to work. Keep it up, Joe. And but you got to get out of the left lane. Following somebody 35 miles an hour, and I'm going, what? And then I could just see that in front of them, there were no cars for 44 miles. Nothing in front of them.
No, we need, like, Cochran permission slips. You know, like, when it rains like this, you can stay home. When it snows like the other day, you can stay home.
Well, here's the thing. Is this the rain we were supposed to get yesterday? Because it's a monsoon. Wasn't it supposed to rain all day yesterday?
Yes. It was to rain, yeah, yesterday.
And it didn't.
Into today, though.
Not much. I mean, it's last night it was raining pretty good about 6 o'clock.
So. But last night was Sunday night when it was Monday night. Because Sunday night is when we're supposed to get this. So since last night was Sunday night, this is Monday. We got to work an extra day.
Wait, what?
I'm leaving. Huh? And some areas south of the city got almost 2.5 inches of rain.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. No, that's where all the flooding is.
Flood watch still in effect.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if this were snow?
That'd be a lot of snow.
We'd be dead. Yeah.
Be a lot of snow.
We'd be dead.
Tom Skilling once told me that the rough equivalent, I believe I'm right about this, is 47 inches of snow for every inch of rain. I think that's accurate.
Is that right?
No. By the way, I think it's his birthday today.
It is Tom's birthday.
Tom Skilling's birthday today.
Ah, sexier than ever.
See?
Yeah. Happy birthday, Tommy.
Mother Nature did this for him.
6:14, we'll get to the top six at 6 coming up. Lisa Lampanelli tickets later. Those are not for your grandmother. Kevin Powell is going to report live from the desert in Arizona. And, you know, Kevin's got a real journalistic conundrum going on here. He's a lifetime White Sox fan.
Mm-hmm.
How is he going to report fairly on the White Sox this year? Dave, are you as concerned as I am?
There's no conundrum.
There isn't?
No. No.
Is there a concern?
He's a professional.
Yeah, have you met Kevin?
Oh, yeah, there is that. No, he is.
No, he's going to be great.
He'll
I'm kidding.
Be great. He's probably so happy.
He is happy. I talked to him Sunday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's psyched.
He's having a great time in the desert, and he loves his gig. Why wouldn't he love his gig?
I get a text from him on Sunday. Did Todd talk to you about me staying a little longer out here?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For work?
I'm like, well, no, he didn't really, Kevin, but...
Kevin going the extra mile for the story.
Yeah.
Stepping up.
Suffering.
Stepping up. That's what he's doing. We have Blackhawks tickets later. Oh, God. Here we go again.
I know.
7-1 Saturday night, you think. Okay. We've been waiting all year. There's the breakup. Last night, same old crap.
Did you think that, really?
No.
I didn't. Nick pointed out that, and Nick on Facebook Saturday night, as soon as the game was over, said, watch, they'll score one goal on Monday. Sure enough.
I was cautiously pessimistic. I was hoping I was wrong.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes. So the Hawks said, win one, lose one. You know what it is? It's like give a penny, take a penny. Take a penny, leave a penny. It's like that penny thing at the 7-Eleven counter.
Boy.
And it makes me go, I can't wait till next season. And we still got 20 games left of this one. Oh, boy. Dean later, obviously. Amy Rutledge is going to join us. Is she coming in?
She will be in studio, yes.
Oh, that's great. We love
Amy. Very excited to see you.
And Amy Rutledge from Channel 9. Now we have one little bump in the road here. John DeCoste was supposed to join us. He won't be in today.
Oh, does Amy know?
No.
Oh, no. Shh, don't tell her.
No. Matter of fact, Sandberg, why don't you text her? She's a mother of twins. If we need to reschedule that, because we're trying to put Amy Rutledge together with John DeCoste, because as John stated on the air... he's the father of one of her twins.
Right, right.
Yes.
Big time crushing on Amy. Yeah.
So she was going to bring in one of the twins.
I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
So, I mean, I don't know how she keeps them separate, except one of them's funny and the other's more serious.
She has great stories, too, because they're identical twins, but they are so identical that when she first brought them home from the hospital, you know, she would keep them separately. She and her husband are obviously taking turns, changing diapers and whatnot. So she had to do something to make one stand out.
And that's just a stupid question. Other. Let me go to Vanderbilt on this. Okay, let's say you have identical twins.
Okay.
How do you... They're identical. They're babies.
Yes.
How do you make sure you're not breastfeeding the same one twice?
Oh.
Well, that's what she
I have
had.
A little bit of
Hold on. You don't have boobs to talk about this.
Well, I have two nieces that are twins, identical twins. I just went through this.
Did you breastfeed them?
I did not.
Okay, so let Mary answer the question then. All right, so Mary, what's the answer?
Maybe see who, obviously one would be crying more if they haven't been fed yet.
Well, Amy had to do something.
Have digestive issues.
Amy, I'll let her tell the story what she did too, so she wouldn't confuse the twins.
So what about yours, Steve, the identical twin nieces? How did they mark them?
They did. They painted faces on them. So the one was like a clown face, and the other was sort of like a tiger face.
Joe, do you know about this? You got identical twins in your family, Joe Romano?
I do not, but I think the stamp system would work pretty well in this situation.
You don't stamp babies.
You tie a ribbon around their arm, like a little foofy. Again, they were girls, so it was a little foofy. One was a pink ribbon, and one was a red ribbon.
And they're babies, so they can't hurt themselves with the ribbon.
Yeah, you make one always have the same color. Like when I was growing up, my sister and I looked a lot alike, and I was always the green and she was always red.
And name tags also work.
Name tags. Those little sticky hello name my name tags. Is stick them on the buds.
Bear with me, I'm new. All right, we gotta do the top six go coming up
from the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Helpful texters at 312-91-7200. Paint one toenail on one of the twins.
Oh, there you go.
What if one of the twins wore a jaunty hat?
A jaunty?
A jaunty chapeau.
Oh. British now.
Item number one, flooding expected to make your morning commute super sucky. And it's already there. We're anticipating travel times in the 5 to 6 hour range on all the major highways. Is that accurate, Mary?
Yes, perhaps okay. 10 okay. hours. Yes. Yeah. It's already an hour on the Eisenhower.
If you are planning on getting to work from where you are today, it's not going to happen. Let's be honest. There's really very little chance you're going to be able to get to wherever you're going today.
Permission slips, right? Cochran permission slips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should have those on the website at WGNradio.com where you could just print them.
Right. Like you excuse people because of
and then
blank.
You just fill in the blank whatever your reason is, but I sign them in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm totally up for that.
Can we use them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because I'm not that bright. You could use them on me. No, it's just, look, here's the deal. It's sloppy, it's wet, it's raining. Go as fast as you can to get out of that, and we're all going to be better. Next. Mike Madigan parts ways with a second operative, a second individual, a second male, after a female lawmaker alleges an abuse of power. Me Too moments continued. The great question here is, did Mike Madigan knowingly cover up or ignore the fact that male members of his staff were abusive to women? He has not answered the question. He's been defended by a few. And at this point, Chris Kennedy and Daniel Biss are the only two to step up and say Madigan ought to resign.
Yeah, they said it last night during the debate.
Only two of the candidates.
Correct.
I've been saying it for 1,091 shows. Next. J.B. Pritzker is now at a $56 million spending number, topping Governor Rauner's $50 million in the governor's race. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it totally makes sense. Rauner doesn't get paid for the gig. Why wouldn't you spend $50 million on it?
Right.
Pritzker is worth a couple of $1 billion. The gig pays $200,000. Why wouldn't you spend $56 million on it?
Pritzker over the weekend made his eighth deposit of $7 million.
Mm-hmm. Is he married, Pritzker?
I
is, isn't
believe
he?
So, yeah.
At some point, don't you have to go home and go, honey, I forgot to tell you. I took another $7 million out of the checking and put it into my campaign.
We could ask him when he comes in.
But we don't need to get the money out of politics much, huh? Next. More teens are sneaking vaping devices that look like flash drives, markers, and other things into suburban high schools. Where do they vape?
After school, obviously.
Yeah, but where? I mean, do they vape in the boys' room or where?
Parking
do they
lots, bathroom. I'm sure. Homes, yeah.
Vape room.
Vaping wasn't a thing when you were in high school, was it? Because you're old now. You're 32.
Mm-hmm. Well, 30, yeah, but yeah.
Why do I think you were 32? You're 30?
Yep, 30. Okay.
Were you 32 yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm Benjamin Button, actually.
So cute.
Next! Fox News is planning a streaming service for, you ready? Super fans. Who do you think's going to sign up first for that, President Trump? Focusing primarily on right-leaning commentary. Oh, really? Do you think that'll be what it's about? It'd be available without a cable package. Congratulations to everyone involved. And finally, a Blackhawks official, do we know which one said this? A Blackhawks official said Monday that the four fans who were racist on Saturday night are banned for life. Was that a statement attributed to anybody?
No, it was a team statement.
Team statement.
Yes.
The four people were ejected from Saturday's game and informed they are no longer welcome at the United Center. Is that just Hawks or is that Bulls as well?
Oh, I don't know.
Concerts?
I don't know. It's interesting how you go about enforcing something like it. It's not the first time a fan has been banned from one of our sports venues. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's happened in the past. But it's got to be tough to really enforce that, to keep them out. I don't know.
Once you're banned, it would take a lot of stones to come back in.
You would think.
On top of the fact that people who know you would know you're there. Mm-hmm. And somebody eventually would go, hey, the dopes that were racist are back in the house.
Plus, it would seem that if you were banned and came back, you could be charged with trespassing and arrest.
I would think, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. I think that's right. Yeah. Anthony Duclair, one of, I think the number is 28 or 38, maybe 38 black players in the NHL, said there's a lot more racism than you guys know. I don't doubt that at all. Toronto, the home of the National Hockey League, there was an incident there in the last year or so, maybe the last season, just overt racism from the stands. Some of that self-policing, because fans don't put up with it.
They'll
either out you to the security people, or they'll shout you down, or in some cases, it creates, fights in the stands.
It's 2018. The racism, the sexism, all of this behavior just needs to stop.
Well, of course it does. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's 2018. But if you have that in your heart, then you probably can't be fixed anytime soon. Let's see. Three girls. This is helpful. Texture 708. Three girls found vaping right out in the open in junior high. This is in the southwest suburbs. These kids are all suspended, by the way. Where do they vape? My son got caught vaping in class six detentions. You're vaping in detention? That's a kid looking for attention right there. So that's the answer to the question.
I've got to ask one question here, and this is total ignorance on my part.
Go ahead.
Are we talking about they are vaping? Is it tobacco? Is it pot?
No, vaping's the non-tobacco, non-weed product.
It could be like a little tube of lipstick. What looks like a tube of lipstick?
Apparently, it can be like a flash drive. If you see somebody with a flash drive in their mouth for more than a short period of time, would think, what's going on there?
Or their lipstick.
But then, I guess the question is, are they inhaling smoke or? I mean, what is it?
No, it's a vapor. Flavored vapor.
So it's flavored.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry for my ignorance.
But it does have, let's go to Steve on this, because he's upstairs in the actual newsroom, mm-hmm. and they have to have news in front of them at all times.
Yes.
Steve, the vapor that they're inhaling and exhaling does have some sort of nicotine content, doesn't it?
That's a good question. We have a vapor in the newsroom, as a matter of fact. Vic Vaughn, who is one of our reporters.
Is Vic a vapor?
Vic, can you come to the...
I didn't know Vic was a vapor. So the V in Vic stands for vapor?
The V in Vic stands for vapor.
Vaping Vic.
Vic, they want to know if the vaping smoke has any nicotine in it.
Some does. The stuff that I do, it has 0 milligrams of... of that. I don't do it for that.
And do you do it, Vic, I don't know if you can hear me, do you do it as a bridge to quit smoking? Or
a lot of people do vape for that reason. I think the majority do. That's not why I vape, no.
Why do you vape? Just because you think it looks cool?
No, I use a product that derives from hemp. It's legal, It's used for a lot of different medicinal purposes, but you can buy it over the counter now in Illinois. And
does it come in chocolate mousse?
Yes, it does.
There you go.
It comes in a variety of flavors.
There you
actually,
go.
Yeah.
All right. So the V in Vic stands for vape, and it's legal.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Vic.
Hemp too, by the way.
And
a lot of these,
Steve, it says that a lot of them are candy and fruit flavored tobacco products, but that many don't have nicotine, as Vic just said too.
As a matter of fact, when Vic leaned into the microphone in front of me, he smelled as though he were smelled like mint of some sort.
Did he smell delicious?
You going to call the authorities?
No, it smelled kind of nice. Actually,
maybe he was chewing gum. Give him a break.
Yeah, I think just for security reasons, Steve, I think you throw him to the ground and frisk him right now.
Yeah, all right. I have the first two numbers of security dialed here.
Good, you
9-1.
Tip of the week coming up. Stand by for that. Headlines next. Audrey will have that after this. Steve Cochran, 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Got a kid doing something great? Well, we want to know about it. Go to WGNradio.com, search Kid of the Week, go to the Steve Cochran Show page. It ought to be sitting right there. Hold up a cute kid to your computer, and their reflective glory will take you right to the Kid of the Week page. That's the new search. And you go to Kid of the Week, and you just send us a nomination. Maybe it's a kid you don't know. Maybe it's a kid you've heard about that you want to make sure we don't miss out on. Whatever the case may be, we want to know good stuff about good kids. And, you know, we're seeing all these amazing kids from Florida who have started this national, not just a debate, this national outrage.
It's a movement, basically.
Yeah, and it's going to continue because the power and the energy of kids combined with their intelligence and their passion, it can't be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we've been doing Kid of the Week now for years and years and years and years and years, because there's so much bad news about kids. Why not focus on the good news? And each week we award a new Kid of the Week, and happy to do it this morning as well as we welcome to the program Hannah Ritz. Let's go to Hannah now. Good morning, Hannah. How are you?
Hello.
The pride of Bolingbrook, Hannah Ritz. 15 years old?
Yes.
Sophomore?
Yes.
How's school?
It's good.
What's your favorite part about it?
My favorite subject?
No, your favorite whatever.
I don't know. I like English.
Yeah? You're going to be a teacher or something? Or a writer? I hear you're a writer. Are you a pretty good writer?
Yeah, I would say so.
What do you like to write?
I like writing short stories mostly.
Would you ever write a story about this show?
Maybe.
Oh, we got a maybe at least.
Well, she giggled before she answered, yeah. Too. Let me tell you, Hannah, about you. You know these, but let me tell everybody else. Hannah's at Bolingbrook High School, fine people of Bolingbrook. And her interactions with others is why she was nominated here by a good friend. She especially likes to help kids that have certain impairments, certain speed bumps in their life. She's involved with a program called Best Buddies. We'll talk about that in a minute. And these otherly abled kids. She chips in over the summer with them as well, and just making sure that kids who have a little harder go every single day have a little less hard go of it. And a good kid for stepping up. And Hannah, you know, it's one of the things about your generation. I think it's the first generation that is really more than ever willing to drop those labels and pitch in. But you're doing it above and beyond. So tell me about Best Buddies.
Best Buddies, it's a program at my school, and we just, you know, we hang out after school, and we just do some fun little projects with the kids, you know, at our school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a special needs brother, an older brother, who's my hero, and, you know, he grew up in the 60s, and he never had an opportunity for stuff like this, and I just think it's a really big deal for kids that need a little extra help to have somebody like you in their life. Now, are there a lot of kids that volunteer for it, or do you need more?
Oh, no, there's quite a bit, but, you know, there's always room for more, you know?
Sure.
Hey, Hannah, you worked at a camp, too, last summer, and you're going to do it again this summer as well. Talk about the camp for other able kids that you work at.
It was LCSRA Special Needs Camp, and it was a really fun experience. I really enjoyed it.
Do you have any special needs kids in your life, cousins, brothers, sisters, friends, other than the ones at school?
No.
What inspired you to do this?
I just, my mom, she worked with people who had special needs, so I would go to work with her sometimes.
Okay, so you saw the good she was doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you sound pretty great to me, Hannah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You going to school today?
Yeah.
It's the Kid of the Week day. Why don't you take the day off? Because you'd be in trouble and the kids need you, right?
Yeah.
That's the story. You can tell in between the giggles, she's going, Mr. Cochran,
right?
Don't tell me to stay home from school. You're going to get me into trouble.
No kidding, right?
Hannah, have a great time in school. I didn't ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up, after school or college or whatever you do?
Well, I actually want to be like a special needs teacher.
Perfect.
Oh, that's awesome.
Absolutely perfect. Yeah.
And you can write on the side, too. Yeah.
My daughter Amy is one of these heroes like yourself, and she works with kids with autism every day, and takes an amazing amount of patience, and you have to be a special person with a special heart, and I think you're one of those heroes. So thank you, Hannah, for that.
Thank you.
All right, hold the line. That's Hannah, and she is the kid of the week. And she has won, amongst other things, Joe's car. Joe Romano's car.
Oh, very cool.
Joe's car.
She probably needs a car.
Well, she's 15. She's probably not driving yet. But when she is ready, she can have Joe's car. Remember we used to give away Rose cars? Yeah, he ran out.
Yes. Ran out.
Yeah, he ran out.
He found out.
An Apt gift card from our friends at Apt, ABT Electronics, and also Lou Malnati's. Lou Malnati's Pizza at loumalnati's.com for Kid of the Week. And get your Kid of the Week submissions in.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
The listeners are chiming in this morning. Helpful WGN Steve Cochran Show listeners. Thank you for that. 312-981-7200 text line with new sports for the Winter Olympics. Because we're now at that point. There's only a few days left in the Winter Games. We're going, so you risk your life by hurtling down a mountain at 80 miles an hour. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. What else you got?
Right.
Frozen turkey bowling.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
I don't know how you turn this into a sport, but it certainly is winter. Slipping and falling.
Oh.
I don't know how you judge it. I don't know how you score it necessarily.
You could do best fall. You know, who lands the most graceful and who doesn't, basically.
That seems like an exhibition sport to me.
Better than I do like snow angels, though, your suggestion.
That's one of them.
That's kind of cool.
Icy chugging.
What?
I-C-E-E. Icy chugging. Oh. You know, like a Slurpee.
Well, could you combine that with the brain freezing?
Yeah.
And then you could have the combined event.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Super G and a downhill.
Yes.
You know, here's one, Steve. You know all the meteorologists, when it gets really cold, they take a cup of water, and then they toss it up in the air, and it forms ice crystals?
Water freezing?
Yeah, something like that. Mm. Like ice crystal freezing.
Only open to weathermen?
Something like that, yeah.
Tom Skilling's birthday today. Drive a Corvette a mile in the winter. It's kind of entertaining. Doesn't have to be a vet. Could be pretty much anything. Snowmobile jumping. I actually did this when I was a kid.
Did you really?
Snowmobile jumping. Now, you know, they're little mogul hills. It's, by the way, not great for the snowmobile. Yeah, it's fun.
Well, that's in, like, the X Games, isn't it? Don't they do, like, snowmobile races?
I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day, though. I don't know why I don't see more snowmobiles in Illinois. With all the open farm country, you know?
Yeah.
We just don't see that many. I loved snowmobile when I was a kid. Why don't I have one now?
Why don't you?
You know what they have up in northern Wisconsin? They have barstool racing. Where you decorate bar stools and you make them fun and you race down a hill. That's what they do for fun.
Oh, you slide on the bar stools?
Yeah. They put skis on the bottom of the bar stools.
That's kind of funny.
And they decorate them.
That's kind of funny.
The University of Wisconsin, the kids take the cafeteria trays and use them as sleds.
Yeah.
That would be a good event.
Nothing dangerous about that.
I did that. The sliding on a cafeteria tray.
Did you really?
Yeah.
We used to go snowmobiling with friends when we were little, and we would have those silver saucer sleds off the back. And one time when we were
totally
done,
safe, by the way.
Oh, I know.
It's
one
like
time
snow tubing. Kinda.
When we were done, my parents and other friends of ours, their parents were driving, and one of them flew off the back, one of those sleds, and it hit some girl on a different snowmobile, and she, like, her lip was bleeding, and she was crying, and my dad made it a lesson. He said, "See," and she kept saying, "I wasn't even supposed to be out here," and I was like a 10-year-old, and I was watching, and my dad said, "Don't ever lie about where you're at, because if I came home and got hit in the face with a sled."
This is how you learn. This is how you learn, by running your face into the back of a snowmobile. This is how you learn.
Yep.
Snowball fight. This is a great idea. Team snowball fight, like country against country.
Love that.
That's a great idea.
Awesome, yeah.
Nice.
And you can only use your hands to make snowballs.
Yeah.
I've seen these like kids' toys now with the scooper. You can't use that.
Last man standing. 847 suggests dog sledding and cat sledding. Might I suggest combined pairs dog and cat skating?
Because
the dogs are generally bigger and stronger. The cats are smaller. The dogs could throw the cats up in the air and catch them.
But they wouldn't.
No, they just skate off.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the cat could care less. They'd walk away.
Snow angels we talked about. Igloo making is all good. Dibs placing. Creative dibs placing.
Love again. Dibs placing. I think that the Americans would win that.
Instead of dog sledding, cat sledding.
Like sled on a cat?
Well, you know, dog sleds and they got the mushers, you know, and you go across Alaska. Cat sledding, but you go across maybe a parking lot. Because you know how good our cat's going to be at it, right?
Right. They'll lose interest after a few seconds.
Driving on the Ike in a snowstorm. Again, I'm not sure how you judge it other than your anger and your aggravation.
Your road rage.
I mentioned earlier the snow spelling bee. You can only shoot this from the back. But the snow spelling bee, where you would be given a word, you'd have to drink a lot of water. Notice I said water. Yeah. And then you'd have to spell the word in the snow.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Along with a kind of a beautiful one. What about pothole decorating?
Pothole decorating?
Put mosaics. Hey. You could fill it with some.
Again, more of an exhibition sport, but it is artistic. Yeah. And then the last one I really like here. Demolition curling. Okay, here's what you do. You're in a parking lot with cars, and you're curling while the cars run into each other. Demolition curling. Huh?
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, sure does. That's part of the excitement.
And how do you judge most points?
Who cares? Last one alive. The Hawks Express doesn't take long when the Hawks don't get it done. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Roll it.
They beat the Hawks 3-1.
That's all you need to know. Again, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Your news is next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
7:15 still to come. Hawks tickets. Oh, Blackhawks. Come here. I'm going to give you a hug. Another rough night for the Hawks after that great game Saturday night. Hawks lose to the Kings last night 3-1. But why wouldn't you be there? Why wouldn't you be there to see a Hawks win? Which is what these free tickets are. These tickets, you can tell they have the scent of winning on them.
Yes, hopefully.
The Hawks. And the Ottawa Senators on Wednesday night. We'll give those away coming up here in a few minutes. And then I hung out with Abigail yesterday afternoon. So
oh,
about that.
Yeah, we got to hear stories.
You know, most every Monday. Kevin Powell from the desert on the baseball situation. Amy Rutledge, our friend from Channel 9 later, talking about raising a couple of twins and whether or not she figured out which one's which. Lisa Lampanelli tickets later in the show. I said this is not a show to take your grandmother to. It might be fun. Take grandmother Lisa Lampanelli and don't tell her what the show's about. So all that on the way. But you're going to meet another one of our friends from City Colleges here. And, well, let me just say hi to him right now. Emmanuel Patalitas is here. That's the rank. Steve can't pronounce it the real way pronunciation, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So part Greek, part Mexican.
Yep, half and half.
All right. So give me how I should say it.
Emmanuel Patalidas.
Emmanuel Patalidas.
Patalidas.
Yes. Patalidas.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Not so bad.
Yeah, most people can.
Just tell him off the air, he's got, is it a Mexican mom and a Greek dad?
Yes.
Imagine how this guy eats.
Oh, God, right?
The food at your house must be unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, how'd you get involved with City Colleges?
I came back to City Colleges after a couple of years of just not knowing what to do with my life, but a lot of different roads, and ended up coming back, and it's been really great so far.
How old are you now?
I'm 23.
And what do you want to do with your life, do you know?
Environmental sciences.
So the great thing about City Colleges is, and Mayor Emanuel's been in here many times talking about it, is you are able to attend City Colleges deeply discounted or free, depending on how hard you're willing to work.
Yeah.
Got great grades in high school. They'll make that happen. And City Colleges, I think, is the absolute best model for how college should be done now. Instead of dropping 60 or 70 or 80 grand a year on some college, and you're screwing around for the first 2 years, and maybe you figure it out by the time you're a senior, or maybe you graduate and you don't have any idea. Sure, nice for you, but the debt you take out of that is insane. So instead, you build an idea in City Colleges. You write it out at City Colleges, have a great time there, actually learn something. And then if you choose to transition to a four-year school, you do it then.
And take advantage of great programs about NASA. You get to go to NASA. How cool is that? Tell us about that.
Yes, I did. I got to go to Houston, Texas for the NCOS program.
What is that?
National Community College Aeronautics Scholars. So they promote community college students to getting into NASA and helping them with internships.
You have the proper build for an astronaut, I think. How tall are you?
I am 5'9".
Yeah.
5'9",
good shape. You could be an astronaut, dude. We could throw you into a rocket.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun.
And you're very modest. One of, 171 college students from across the country got selected to do this.
It's an honor, man.
Yeah, I felt honored. It was amazing to be there. Just never believed that I could actually get there, but I did.
All right, and what'd you learn most from NASA?
Really that it's possible for anyone to get there. Like, if you have the determination and, like, the dedication to do what you want to do, you can get there and you can thrive.
You didn't steal a moon rock or anything, did you?
No, they wouldn't let me get close.
Okay. I don't know about you, but I get frustrated with folks who think the money that we don't spend on space anymore is the right way to go. We need to spend more money on space because some of the great discoveries and things that we learn in life and move forward with technologically come from outer space.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I know that there's plenty of things that they've used in space when they built the Hubble telescope. A lot of the technology was used, and now we have MRIs, and we can do mammograms.
Oh, yeah, 3D imaging, right.
Lycra, nylon, yep. Velcro. I mean, all these things in daily life, right? They come out of space. Was Elon Musk hanging around when you were in Rocket Central there?
No, he was too busy with the launch.
Oh, figured as much. English teacher Patty Rend is here. How long have you been teaching?
Since 94.
Mm-hmm. And you are actually Emmanuel's English teacher?
I was last semester, and I am actually this semester.
What do you think of him?
I think you could tell us. He was one of my favorite students.
Yeah, I can see why. Yeah. What do you like about working for City Colleges?
It's the students, mostly.
Yeah, the interaction, seeing some kids who really are positive and focused on what they want to do.
Focus, willing to work, willing to change their minds about different things as they come encounter new information.
Sure.
I've never seen a program be so welcoming to college students. I mean, we're one of the few cities in the country, maybe even the world, that provides free college to students who qualify. So it's a wonderful program.
Yeah. I mean, and Wright College has a lot of other nice programs as well, including like global studies, and we're working on gender and women's studies right now.
And the quality of these programs, I think, is one of the things that sets you guys apart. Do you feel like you've had a little impact on our friend here? By the way, can I call you Manny?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's good. Cool. On Manny, do you feel
I
like
I think so.
Yeah?
I'd like to think so.
What do you call your teacher at this age? Do you call her Patty?
Well, no. Still professor in the professional
side. Okay.
He's in a class of mine this semester.
Right.
So.
What impact has Patty had on you, professor, had on you?
Well, she's very strict, but not like over. She's not harsh. That's like she's very determined and
expects you to get your work done.
Yeah,
yeah.
She expects good work, and that expectation and wanting her students to get good work really drove me to do the good work and seeing that I could do it.
Do you feel, you know, I just want to get your thought on this, too. Do you feel now, I mean, all of after the school shooting in Florida, all the kids are speaking out. We've had this campaign, Make America Vote Again and whatnot. Do you feel like you have, your generation and you, Manny, have this strong voice, either urging your peers and your friends to either vote or, you know, have a voice at a young age?
I definitely think so. I've just always wanted people to speak up because I feel like if you don't speak up, you're not going to be heard, and it's really important, even if, like, someone's not going to listen. You try to make them listen because that can change things.
What switched the light on for you? Correct me if I'm wrong, but you seem to, you're sort of sounding like maybe in high school you goofed around a bit.
Yeah.
Didn't quite focus.
I definitely, right after high school, I didn't want to go to college. I wasted a couple years, but then I realized I was just going to be doing the same thing over and over, so I might as well try something new.
So did you have good grades in high school?
Oh, no. Terrible.
So you just did what you wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. And then,
so what was the motivation to get your act together?
Just after working several just restaurant jobs, seeing that the best I could do
and
was
being
a
miserable
restaurant job. Yeah, it wasn't. I would have fun on the weekends, but that fun would end as soon as I'd have to go back to work.
And you're clearly a smart guy, so it's not like you didn't know what was going on. So it's great that the light went on. But the point being, if you've got a kid or a grandkid who you see just spinning their wheels, maybe they don't know about City Colleges. Maybe they don't know about Wright College. Maybe they don't know about the program. So, Patty, what's the best place for people to go? Just go to the websites?
Yeah, go to the website.
What is the website?
CCC.edu.
Okay, look at you, ready to go as soon as I threw that at you. I want to talk about this NASA thing a little bit before you go. So you're on a team now that's involved in this project?
It's technically not a team now, but it was a group of 11 students in my team, and we worked on a rover build, just a little set, like a Lego set. But
are you into the robots?
Oh, yeah, since I was a kid.
Are you developing robots to take over the world?
No.
Look at me in the eye.
Help the world.
Oh. did you make some connections at NASA?
Oh, plenty of connections. I'm friends with everyone in my group that was there.
Could you see yourself working for NASA?
Oh, definitely.
How cool would that be?
Oh, that would be cool. Well, you guys already decided you two are going to go into space, and Patty and I are going to stay on the ground and watch you.
Again, look, here's the deal, and I don't understand how you don't understand this. The best minds in the world, our friend Manny here.
I know.
The best minds in the world develop these technologically brilliant pieces of machinery to blast us off into outer space and to bring us back safely. You, on the other hand, are willing to jump out of a plane where some guy named Hank opened up a flight school and rents a plane that maybe has gas in it and throws you out the front door.
I want you guys to have all the glory of having gone to space and back.
I'll see you on the launch pad, Manny.
All right.
But congratulations, pal. Sounds like you got a great future ahead of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. And you'd recommend it, I assume?
Oh, definitely. And everybody who's in City Colleges has the opportunity to do it every semester. They want more people from Chicago, they told me.
And professor, what is on the curriculum agenda today?
Writing.
What are we writing
about? And editing.
What are we writing? What are we writing about today?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
I have a few more hours before I decide.
Right, crack a whip.
The wheels are turning.
Listen, it's early for all of us.
Yeah.
Great to see both of you. Give them the website one more time.
ccc.edu.
Highly recommended you look into it, and we like giving you an opportunity every once in a while to meet folks like Manny. Manny, keep it up, dude.
Thank you so much.
I'm watching you, man.
All right.
Hawks in Ottawa, that's tomorrow night at the United Center as the Hawks continue to make their late season push. Come on, Hawks. We can do this. What do we need, 20 in a row now?
Well, let's see. They are 13 points out of a playoff spot with 22 games to go.
All right, 13 points is 6.5 games. So they're 6.5 games out with 22 games to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's not great, but it's possible.
Until they say it's over. That's right. Then you still have hope.
Yeah. At this point, the fat lady's still sitting in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
We can do it.
We'll get to the Hawker riddle in just a second. I was hanging out with Abigail Grace yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And, again, showing tremendous advances. She's not your typical two-year-old. We played a little balloon soccer.
Oh, cool.
Kick a balloon down the hallway and giggle.
And I'm sure I don't even need to ask who won.
Well, she let me win a couple times. And then there was a smaller balloon, and she would giggle when I took the smaller balloon, and I stuck it under her shirt, and then she would play drums on it. Balloon belly, we called that. Big fun. Lots of laughs. Tried at home. And then she wanted to jump on Pop's back when we were watching Elmo, because we always watch Elmo.
Yeah.
And it was a real gripping episode. This is the one where gangs came to Sesame Street, you know, and you had to stop the gang life. And Big Bird and Elmo were fighting the gangs. So.
Oh.
But she said I'd be okay and to man up and watch it. Big fun had by all hanging out with Abigail Grace. Oh, and we did the digital art thing. When Vanderbilt, remember when your kids were little, my kids were little, Dave, remember when your kids were little, they draw stuff, paint stuff, and it's like your god kids.
Sure.
And you put it on the refrigerator.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Not anymore.
With the
digital
magnets.
It's all digital.
What do you mean?
Like yesterday, we spent probably an hour making cupcakes on the iPad.
No way.
Yeah, because what you do is you have the cupcake, and then you add the various ingredients, and then you can and then the candle comes on, and you can blow out the candle, and then you take a picture of the cupcake.
Oh, but
then you can print the picture.
You can't really eat the cupcake, though.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No.
But you can't eat the one on the refrigerator door either.
Oh, that's true, you guys. You're right.
It's just a new way to do it.
This is a virtual cupcake.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and if you don't have a chance to actually print the cupcake, just hang your iPad on the refrigerator.
There you go.
Do you still have any artwork from Ross or Amy hanging? I do, too.
Yes. Me, too.
From not your kids, my kids.
It would be weird if you had my kids' artwork.
My kids get mad at Christmas if I don't put out the stuff.
Is that right?
They go, hey, Mom, where was that thing I drew, you know, with the stocking or whatever?
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, come on.
You know what, though? Yeah, when I was little, I made a little frame out of they were like little kidney beans, and you take your parents' picture or like, and you make a Christmas tree ornament out of it, and my dog chewed off the bottom part of it. Every year my mom still puts that ornament up.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty cool. We're just sentimental fools, that's all.
Yeah.
So there was some crying and stuff after, you know, at the end of the day, but Abigail said stop crying. You gotta drive.
You gotta go home.
Yeah, you have to go home.
Bye-bye.
Now, Pops. Here's your Hawker riddle.
Does she tell you when you have to leave? Like, she's done? She's ready to move on?
Well, Ross got home from work, and as soon as she sees her dada, I mean, I'm toast.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be. So. But Ross still does this thing where he makes me pick him up just for a joke.
Watch so, Elmo.
Yeah, then he laughs when my back goes up. You know, he's like 6'3".
Yeah.
Are you at the Hawker riddle? You ready? He came to Chicago in 82, not close to a Mormon, but from BYU. McDonald's was known for their special Big Mac, but he was more popular as a punky throwback.
Okay, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just because you know. It doesn't mean everybody else knows.
I know.
Joe, do you know? Joe knows. Do you know?
Not really.
No, of course you don't
I'm
know.
I'm just not going to pretend.
He came to Chicago in 82, not close to a Mormon, but from BYU. McDonald's was known for their special Big Mac, but he was more popular as a punky throwback. Okay. First correct caller gets tickets for the Hawks in Ottawa tomorrow night at the Madhouse. Back with your headlines next on 720 WGN. Bob knew it was Jim McMahon. Congratulations, Bobby. He's got the Hawks Ottawa tickets, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Plumbing, Air Conditioning, and all the other good things they do. And congratulations, Bob. You're qualified for season tickets next season as well. And a great, great prize from Four Seasons.
The Commerce Department last week urged President Trump to impose tariffs and quotas on foreign-made metals, citing national security risks.
You pronounce tariffs very interestingly.
Tariffs.
It's tariffs, but you say tariffs.
I say tariffs, yeah.
But is that like a Southern Illinois thing that
I'm not
aware
sure.
of?
I say a lot of weird stuff, like guitar and...
guitar, that would be Southern Illinois.
I said guitar yesterday.
What's another one?
I can't say the two words jail sale together.
So it sounds like jail sale?
Jail sale. Sometimes it's what I can't do.
Oh,
that.
And I know one you do, which always amuses me. Yahoo, the internet
Yahoo,
company.
Yeah, Yahoo. Yahoo.
Yeah, but no, but you go, it's not
Yahoo.
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 That's what
big
what I like.
Big O does that.
Wait,
too.
Steve, I like the one where, say, you're on a golf course and there's a little stream of water. It's
yes.
called a.
It's called a what,
creek?
Steve?
Creek.
Creek.
Creek. Creek.
It's called a creek? No, yeah. It's actually creek.
Creek.
I like creek, though. It's cute.
And Yahoo, I was called Yahoo a lot as a child. That's probably why
Come on.
That one stuck with me.
Who was it? You tell me who they are. I'll track them down.
Probably my mom.
Oh, well, I like her. All right, back to you.
All right, and that is your money.
The Steve Cochran Show.
It's never not funny. Kevin Powell live from the desert in Arizona, where he's getting ready for the White Sox opener this Friday. You'll hear it here and all White Sox baseball all year long. We'll talk a little Cubs, too. By the way, this is normally the time of day where Kevin is Snapchatting out pictures of his tan lines to his millions of followers. But today, he's making an exception to talk to us, and we appreciate that. Good morning, Mr. Paul.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you being on. As a lifelong White Sox fan, I would bet you're kind of giddy about the fact that we're going to be the White Sox station.
Oh, yeah. Plenty giddy. I mean, it's just I was talking to Mary off the air that it's the White Sox and WGN. I mean, my dad's a GN junkie. It's always been a part of the family. And then, of course, the White Sox. My dad was a diehard White Sox fan. So for all that to come together, it's pretty wild. So I'm thrilled.
Now, you were at the park Sunday? White Sox game Sunday? Is that right?
Yes, I was in Glendale. I was bouncing between Glendale and Mesa over the weekend. Sure. Yesterday I was at Cubs camp. So.
All right, so let's start with the White Sox. Young team, obviously, but still a young team that could surprise a few people. So let's go with players we ought to be watching right out of the gate.
Well, right out of the gate, Yoan Moncada, who was the guy that was he was the centerpiece of that Chris Sale trade that really sparked this whole rebuild 14 months or so ago when Rick Hahn of the Sox decided it's time we build the farm system, we build this thing from scratch. So they traded Chris Sale to Boston, and they got four players in return, the top one being Yoan Moncada. Now, we saw him a little bit last year for the final couple months of the season, and he really turned it on in September over the final month. He had five homers, batted close to .300. So this is his first full big league season, and basically he's one of those players that from a very young age you just hear baseball people talking about. And I think among all the great young players they have, I think he's probably going to have the best career, just basically from what we've seen from him. He looks so comfortable at the plate and all that. So I would keep an eye on Yoan Moncada.
Is he one of my favorite Cubans? He is one of my favorite Cubans, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. They've got a whole crop of Cubans on the team. Jose Abreu, Yoan Moncada, and Luis Robert, who is the guy they they signed. So all three of those guys, their lockers are all right next to each other, and they're all, you know, Jose Abreu is a mentor to Moncada, and Moncada's a mentor to Roberts. So they all kind of stick together. Probably won't see Robert in the majors this year. He's only 20, but Moncada's the guy to keep an eye out for. Michael Kopech, who was also part of that trade, he's as a comparison to Noah Syndergaard from the New York Mets, because they both physically are pretty similar, 6'4", completely jacked, and throw the ball 100 miles per hour. So he's a guy you'll probably see down the road this year.
All right, so pitching, top to bottom, if the season started tomorrow, is it Shields at the top, or who's your ace?
Yeah, I think Shields, just because he's the veteran and all of that. But, you know, I know Sox fans are already talking about who's going to be the opening day starter. It'll probably be Shields, but keep in mind they're on the road to start in Kansas City. I think the Sox are probably more interested in getting a home opener start for one of the young guys.
Okay.
So I don't think it really matters so much for opening day, but the home opener, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Lucas Giolito on the mound.
And Dave, question on the White Sox before you jump to the Cubs?
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned a couple names. The one guy, Kev, that is still here, and there was a lot of talk that he might not be here when the season rolled around, but I'm glad he is, quite frankly, and that's Jose Abreu, because, I mean, here's a guy who has established himself on the field, and as you said, he's been a mentor now to Moncada and probably to Roberts, so I think he's got a lot of value to this team, whereas he could have been one of the guys who had value on the trade market and could have been sent elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, he's had four straight years of 30 and 100 100 RBI. I think one year he had like 28 homers, but he's been consistent. He's been great, and I think the way he's
got MVP talent if he puts it all together.
Yeah, I mean, I just think trading him, it wouldn't be worth it. I think his value for the younger guys, and the fact that he's also really good. He's not just some veteran that's around the clubhouse to be a leader for young guys. He's one of the best first basemen in baseball. He puts up huge numbers. So I don't think there should be any rush to move on from him. Maybe even an extension should be discussed as well. But, yeah, I'm with you, and I'm also – I know a lot of White Sox fans are happy to see Avi Garcia still with the team, who just made his first All-Star game last year. So, yeah, but with Abreu, I'm 100% with you. I think his value for the young guys, but also the fact that he's just a really good baseball player.
We'll come back, talk about the Cubs, but you have a White Sox question?
You guys, I think, are forgetting the big question for Kevin. Since he has an option for 2018, will they be signing Giovanni Soto?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. You and the Soto thing.
No, it was Matt Mertwin.
I'll that today at Rickon, personally.
Yes. Thank you, Kevin. You. See, Kevin knows.
Why don't you do a twofer? Why don't you go Groupon and see if you bring up Matt Mertwin as well?
Thank you, Kevin.
They could use some outfield depth, so yeah, I'll talk to them about that.
White Sox first game, Dave, on WGN since, about 1930 is when?
Actually, since 1943.
Oh, 43, okay.
Yes, 43, and it will be Friday afternoon. And by the way, I did the pregame for that one.
Yeah, you did, and I thought you were strong.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was good. We only did like a two-minute pregame back then.
Right, right. But this part of it because of the hand-crank transmitter, and it took a lot of time.
Right, right. But it'll be at 2 o'clock Friday afternoon, the White Sox and the Dodgers from Glendale. It's a home game for the Dodgers.
Young Ed Farmer at the mic?
Doesn't really matter. Young Ed Farmer and young Darren Jackson at the microphone.
Okay, excellent. And Andy Mazur will have a little quickie pregame prior to that, and he'll do the pregames all year.
Yes, he will.
Yeah, so it's exciting. We like Mazur. And frankly, he needs to get off the street, so this is a solid move for him.
That was the main consideration.
Kevin, hold on. More from Kevin in a second, and it's time for you to turn over, Kev. Remember, sunblock.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I think I kind of know an Olympian. Coming up after 9, Lisa Lampanelli tickets as well. Amy Rulledge from Channel 9, what's it like to do TV and raise a couple of twins?
How about that? And then she'll tell you the story of how she figured out which twin was which.
Yeah. By the way, a couple of twins is a little redundant.
Yeah, a couple of twins, exactly. Of twins. Sorry about that.
I was asking for extra ideas for Winter Olympic sports, and the helpful listeners are stepping up. Text line 312-981-7200. That's also for phone calls, of course. And if you've got an alternative winter sport you'd like to offer, we've gone through many of these this morning. What about ice water swimming, where we just throw people into ice water? They could swim, same events, but they're swimming in ice water, so you could take the excitement of swimming in the Summer Olympics, but you do it in the winter, but they have to swim in ice water.
Oof. Hopefully it wouldn't freeze over on the top, though, because then that would prohibit them from...
Be a cool camera angle.
no.
847, winter tire changing.
So
That's a
great event.
A pit crew.
Yeah, pit crew in the winter. Yeah. How fast can you change tires on your car in the winter on the side of the Kennedy?
As it's snowing.
We mentioned these earlier. Snow dancing. I like snow dancing. You know, it's the dancing, but you're dancing while snow is falling. It's very beautiful. Aww. Yeah. Driveway shoveling. Yeah. Shoveling. Individual and team.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You couldn't spill it over the side.
Roof raking. We haven't talked about that. Roof raking. So the house is covered with the snow right before the roof collapse. You have to rake the snow off the roof.
Have you guys ever done that?
A rake a roof, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I probably do the same thing with ice dams, clearing an ice dam. And you know why the ice dam is named ice dam? Because you realize you have it and you go, ice dam!
I still like your snow angel idea the best.
Snow angels, yep. Naked or clothed, either one.
Okay.
Yep. No. Come on! Oh, there he is. Going down an icy driveway in slippers to get the paper. Those are all good as well.
Oh, those are good.
All right, let me get back to Kevin because obviously he's about out of 10. All right, Kev, talk about the Cubs for a bit. Everybody's expecting the Cubs to be great again. Will they be great or is it over?
I think salting of the driveway could be make for some serious drama in the alternate winter games. Who can salt the driveway the best? I think they'll be great again this year. They have the expectations now for them is to go all the way. And I think when you make the sort of signings like Yu Darvish and trade for guys like Jose Quintana last year, and you have one of the best rosters in baseball, they should absolutely be contending for another World Series.
Yeah, and the thing is, after losing last year and winning the year before, they should be as hungry as they were the first time around. Almost as hungry as they were the first time around.
Yeah, Tom Rickett spoke yesterday. He said this year's clubhouse, this year's spring feels a lot like 2016, and I kind of get that. I think they're pretty upset about how last year ended. So they are hungry, and they've got the team to do it.
Give me one person who has a bounce back year this year for the Cubs.
I would say Addison Russell. Because he was injured last year, had some off-the-field stuff, only played 110 games, but had a lingering foot injury. A lot of people think Addison Russell is MVP talent. He's a terrific in the field, and he has a big bat for a shortstop. So I think Addison Russell has a bounce-back year.
It's Kevin Paul live from the desert. He'll be there through the Sox opener on Friday and right into the weekend. So thanks for all the coverage. I know what a brutal assignment it is.
Brutal. Yeah, keep me in your thoughts.
All right, put some pants on and go to work. A quick break, back with the news, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Let's go to Channel 9's newsroom, where Dean is sitting.
I am.
We're not standing, but he's sitting.
You prefer that I stand?
No, you can sit. Taking alternative sports ideas for the Winter Olympics. Do you have any?
You mean a new events?
Yeah, like driveway shoveling, roof raking, one of my favorites so far, demolition curling, where you use cars instead of curling stones.
I like, I'd like to suggest dibs stacking.
Yep.
Where you take the stuff that people normally put in front of their house during a storm, your, you know, plaid couches with worn out.
I'm with you.
Ironing boards, plastic snowmen that are broken.
How many can you stack? One on top of the other.
How many can you stack without falling?
This is a good one. Winter Olympic sport. Don't have a name for it yet, but you have to go down an icy driveway in slippers to get the paper. It's timed, and the driveway must be pitched at least 45 degrees.
That's a good sport. I've seen that because someone goes down the driveway in their slippers, and they have their spouse and kids with brooms in front of them, like curling.
Yeah.
Right.
Creating
to make them go
friction.
Faster or slower.
Friction, faster, slower. Are they going to fall? Are they not going to fall? That's a good sport.
But this has to be slippers and a
bathrobe. And the littlest kid yells, hard! Hard!
Slippers and a bathrobe. You can't do any padding or anything like that.
Bathrobe uncinched.
773, downhill javelin. You're skiing downhill as fast as you can, and you throw a javelin.
That's pretty cool. I like that one.
That was a scene in Black Panther.
331, winter triathlon. Scrape the snow and ice off your car. Drive on icy roads to work and find parking. Oh. Fastest to get to the office. Oh,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
Olympic windshield scraping. That's solid. Obstacles course snowplow. How about giant snowplows on an obstacle course, huh?
Okay, Tim Allen, settle down.
Black ice derby and Mini Coopers. Oh, that's a good one from the 312. Winter sport thermostat adjusting. Husbands versus wives.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to use like smart thermostats or anything.
No, old school.
No, yeah. It's got to be the old turn-it-yourself kind.
708, pothill slalom. It's skiers, but suddenly holes open up on the hill.
That's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Time de-icing. Yeah, where you have to de-ice the car and the driveway. The fastest to do it is the winner. Parking lot donuts is good. Building of snow forts is good. There's tons of great ideas here. And as always, the listeners of the Steve Cochran Show, sick and twisted, and it's very appreciated.
And providing great material.
It's very solid. Coming up with you, Fergie seems to be sort of sad about her anthem, and I don't think she should be, but we'll get to that. Colin Quinn news, oh boy, Black Panther news, speaking of that. How much is Jay-Z willing to spend at the bar, and will he ever notice it's gone? And something about One Day at a Time. I didn't even realize until recently that One Day at a Time was coming back.
It's season two.
Did you know that?
It's season two. Well, Norman Lear, who was the original producer of the old 70s, 80s sitcom One Day at a Time, has produced this new version, which is also set around a divorced mother raising two kids.
But none of the originals are back.
None of the originals are part of this. But it's a whole new cast that includes Rita Moreno, which ain't too bad.
She's tremendous.
But also a Chicago actress by the name of Justina Machado, who is delightful. And we've got a little clip of the one-on-one conversation.
We're going to tease you with that. We'll play that when we come back. By the way, I know the lyrics to the song.
Do you really?
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. This is life, the one you get. So go and have a ball.
Continue.
This is it. Yep. This is it. Straight ahead and rest assured. You can't be sure at all.
Wow.
So while you're here, enjoy the view. Keep on doing what you do. Hold on tight. We'll muddle through one day at a time.
Wow. This just goes with the new series that I've started. What is going on in Steve Cochran's head?
Didn't we ask that hourly here?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards. Entertainment.
Back to Channel 9. And Dean, so this young actress from Saturday, or from One Day at a Time?
One Day at a Time. She is from the northwest side of Chicago. Actually, just grew up a few blocks away from us here at WGN-TV near Belmont and Western. But she could not be more delightful. She has been, she was featured in the TV show 6 Feet Under. Do you remember the...
I do.
The character Freddie, who was the young...
I don't.
He was the young Undertaker.
Okay.
The young Hispanic Undertaker. She played his wife. She was...
What's her name?
Her name is Justina Machado.
And when did you talk to her?
And I talked with her a week or so ago.
Can we hear it?
And this is what she told me. You went to Lane Tech High School.
I did.
Hung out at the McDonald's.
All the time.
In back of WGN.
More than I went to Lane Tech. I was at McDonald's.
So how does that road take you to the new One Day at a Time?
Exactly. How does that, going to a technical high school, take you to that? I just was, when I graduated from high school, I started working at the Latino Chicago Theater, which is right there on Damon Milwaukee and Armitage, and on North Avenue, Damon Milwaukee, North Avenue. And it just kind of flourished from there. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I started working at that theater. Then I did stuff at, you know, I did the Christmas Carol at the Goodman. I did all that stuff. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. I can do this. And I moved to New York.
How about that?
How about that for, you know, anyone thinks they can't make it. Now she's the star of a big Netflix show.
Sounds like she's fun, too.
She is absolutely delightful.
Yeah.
She's back in Chicago all the time.
We like when good people make it.
Would love to come and visit with us anytime.
Yeah, that's great. She's always welcome here. What did Fergie say about her national anthem?
She apologized.
Why?
She just feels like
she apologized for an artistic choice. She wasn't trying to be offensive.
The backlash on social media got got to her, because for the most part she was trashed for that jazzy, bluesy, sex kitten-y, happy birthday, Mr. President version of the Star Spangled Banner. So she said, I'm a risk taker artistically, but clearly this rendition didn't strike the intended tone.
Well, she's bigger than both. Than
says,
most.
I love this country and honestly tried my best. Some of the reaction included Roseanne Barr, who famously butchered the national anthem.
Yeah, and grabbed her crotch afterwards.
And
in
grabbed her crotch and said that her version, Roseanne's version, was better than first.
Oh, shut up.
I completely think that's nuts. And
shut up.
Shaquille O'Neal yesterday tweeted, Fergie, I love you. It was different. It was sexy. I liked it. Leave her alone.
Yeah, I'm with Shaq. Yeah, not just because he could kill me with his bare hands. What's going on with Colin Quinn?
Colin Quinn is recuperating from a heart attack.
Oh, boy.
That's not news ever that we want to hear. He actually had it on Valentine's Day.
Is he a smoker?
He is. Every time I've been around him, like a chimney kind of smoker.
Not
so
good.
So hopefully that's going to change. But he said,
Funny dude, that
he's doing okay, and that he has started a list of people who have not checked in on him to see how he's doing.
That's very funny.
He thanked doctors and nurses, saying that they realized they had a precious jewel of comedy in their hands and worked to preserve him.
You know, I'm a precious jewel. What's the Black Panther news?
So about 200 kids yesterday got to go see the movie for free.
Oh, that's great.
Which is awesome, thanks to the black operators of McDonald's. Black McDonald's Operators Association.
Oh, so the black franchise owners.
Exactly. Okay. And also the nonprofit group Creative Cypher, which works to create diversity in filmmaking. But they took kids from Chatham, from Inglewood, from Woodlawn, who have good grades and demonstrate good citizenship, and invited them to the screening yesterday to be part of it. And then they participated in a big panel discussion about what they saw up on the screen.
Very cool.
So that part's great. One of the co-stars of the movie, Lupita Nyong'o, has been pranking her co-stars. Chadwick Boseman appeared on the cover, is currently on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, all chiseled and buffed and, you know, short.
Oh, no, that's me. Chadwick's on the inside.
Once again, they put Chadwick Boseman's head on Steve's body as though he is a black man. And and so Lupita Nyong'o created practically exactly the same look. And put it on her Instagram yesterday, Strategic Partnership.
Is she funny? I didn't know she was funny.
She is. Apparently, she's hilarious.
I've never met her. Was she funny when you talked to her?
She was a little serious the day that I met her, but the subject matter was also a little bit serious.
Well, that's cool.
It wasn't really a ha-ha interview.
I like funny people.
But also, apparently, she made a bet with the other co-star of the movie, Michael B. Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows what the bet is. We only know that Michael lost it and has to do whatever Lupita says. She has five times to order him to do whatever she wants. And he paid off. So far, it's only been dropped to the ground and give me push-ups, which she
She's got to do better than that.
Conveniently has a video camera every time that she orders him to do something.
Sure.
And she posted that up on her Instagram yesterday. I would be much crueler.
Yes, there's got to be.
If it was me and I had five wishes on somebody else.
Let's say I'm Jay-Z and I'm worth $1.5 billion, maybe $2 billion. How much am I willing to spend at the bar?
$91,000.
Wow, that's a lot of booze.
Yeah, that comes after a $13,000 dinner at a Manhattan restaurant.
Couldn't I buy the joint for $100,000?
Probably not. But they have this $13,000 dinner for a business associate of his, and then they go out for some drinks at the clubs. Jay-Z paying full price.
By the way, it's at the club.
At the club.
Yeah, not the. It's at the club.
At the. At the.
Not D-U-H-D-A. At the club.
You're so straight.
You'll come along.
You are so straight.
I really am.
He bought 40 bottles of champagne, started handing it out to strangers at other table. The server decides to take his receipt and post it on Instagram.
Oh, boy.
Yesterday.
We don't need that.
$91,000.
So the tip is $10,000.
The tip was $11,000.
Yeah. And the point being, it's usually 10 to 15% for booze, 20% for the meal.
Yeah. So that was Jay-Z's big dinner.
So if you had a $91,000 bar tab, just to round it off, would you go, that's a little on the low side, but I'm just going to give him $100?
Yeah, well, it turned out to be more than 100, yeah. But yeah, I think I would.
No, you pay him the full number.
This reminds me of that time that Steve took me to Poochie's for some hot dogs. And Steve spent, I don't want to embarrass you, Steve spent $7.80.
I know you've been in this position. I'll tell you a quick story. I get a call yesterday from a friend of my big shot show business type in New York City. And he hired me at one point for a gig. And I was taking out the people involved in the gig to a very expensive steak joint in New York. And he's supposed to show up and pay the bill. Well, he got delayed. So it's my second night in New York with this particular project. And we had eight people there. It's a place called the Pen and Pencil, big steakhouse in New York. And the check came. And this is in the 90s. The check came. It was $2,800.
Oh, God.
And I'm waiting. Going, ah, he'll probably be here in a second. It'd be rude if we didn't wait to at least say hi.
Did you say, do y'all want to split this? Or
well, it was a Tuesday. I thought by Thursday we should probably get out of there. Right. Yeah, $2,800.
Oh, my God.
Next day I see him and I go, you forget something last night? Oh, did I tell you I'd be at that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to a dinner once. This was actually for my 50th birthday. And I went to a restaurant where the wine was supposed to be comped. Because
of your birthday?
Well, no, because one of the, not comp by the restaurant, but one of my guests was a wine distributor.
Wow.
So he said, don't pay for the wine. I'll bring all the wine.
Oh.
And he did bring all the wine, but the restaurant charged for the wine. And there was no...
What, like a handling fee or something?
No, they charged for the actual bottles of wine. My friend, who was going to comp the wine, said, well, I can't do it because they're my clients, and I can't say...
Well, then so why
gotta,
do we have all that wine?
You got to pay for the wine. And it was... I forget what the total was.
It's a lot of money.
But,
it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I lost all the blood in my head and had to go to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And boy, I tell you something, I don't care what kind of company you're working for, what decade you're in, doesn't matter. They love $3,000 food and beverage bills.
Totally.
They just love them. Hey, before I let you go, new idea on a sport. This just came in, and Dave is a consultant on this because it's sports. Mm-hmm. Snowball fights on the DMZ. North Koreans versus the South Koreans.
Oh, yeah, what could go wrong there?
Or
yeah.
The North Koreans and South Koreans together as one.
A unified Korea.
Oh,
well, who are they
nice.
Throwing the snowballs at then?
Us.
Oh, boy.
North and South Dakota.
The
yes.
Dakotas.
The Dakotas. Thank you, Dean.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye now. Back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Hey, I know an Olympian.
Do you?
I know him.
Do you really?
Come on. You don't know any Olympians.
Well, I mean, I kind of know an Olympian.
Sure you do.
Okay, well, maybe not.
I know an Olympian.
Kind of. Sort of. Nah. This is inspired by a long-standing We Should Do That Bit More bit, which I like to call, ooh, that almost happened, where you almost won the lottery, you almost connected with the love of your life, you almost got a raise at work, you almost met somebody famous. This is, I kind of know an Olympian. So text lines, phone lines open at 312-981-7200 if you have a story about some Olympian that you've brushed with, somebody you crossed paths with. Like, you know, the cousin of a guy who almost qualified for the team.
Right.
Early. I have another kind of known Olympian. Do you know that, and we all have this, do you know that Larry Wirt was at one point, the guy that runs this company, was at one point on a path to be an Olympic diver?
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what sidelined him from becoming an Olympic diver?
I think the outfit.
Ah.
Yeah, because you got to wear a Speedo and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the weird part is he still wears it here, mm-hmm. you know, in the corporate offices.
That's just for work, though.
Well, we wait for those calls and texts to come in. I have an interesting list here this morning of people you probably didn't know were Olympians, actual Olympians. You know, Dr. Benjamin Spock was an Olympian.
No really. Way.
Author of Common Sense, the book of baby and child care, child rearing expert in America. He was part of the Yale crew team and made the men's eights team for the 1924 Paris Olympics. He was a rower.
Oh, that's cool. Oh,
I knew that.
Do you know that Johnny Weissmuller was an Olympian?
Oh, yeah.
The original Tarzan.
Yep.
Ooh.
He won five gold medals between the 1924 Paris and 1928 Amsterdam Games.
Mm-hmm.
He's a swimmer.
Yep.
No, he had
yeah.
quite the wingspan.
I don't know what to do with that information. Did you know that Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss were Olympians?
The Facebook guys.
The Winklevoss twins.
Yeah, the Facebook guys, the rowers.
Yeah, exactly. They were rowers. In 2008, they competed in men's pair rowing at Beijing. They placed sixth overall. They are Bitcoin billionaires.
Yeah.
I was in a band called the Bitcoin Billionaires.
Mm-hmm. Even before Bitcoin became Bitcoin.
Before anybody knew what it was. Do you know Summer Sanders was an Olympian? Do you know who Summer Sanders is?
Oh.
Pretty pretty blonde lady?
Yep.
Yeah.
Commentator?
Uh-huh. Hey, lady! What's she most famous for? Maybe that Nickelodeon show, Figure It Out, that kids thing?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that why she's on TV? Is because she was an Olympian?
So you're saying, was it the Olympic chicken or the Olympic egg?
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
Okay. Well, was she one of those ribbon dancers?
No, she's a swimmer.
Yeah.
Oh. She's a swimmer. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know Ben Nighthorse Campbell was an Olympian?
Was he an equestrian?
Ben Nighthorse Campbell, former Colorado senator, first Native American to serve in the Senate in more than 60 years when he was elected in 1992. He served as captain of the first American judo team, the 1964 Olympics in Tokyo.
That's cool.
Let's see. General Patton, George S. Patton.
Was an Olympian?
Was an Olympian. Imagine him on a team. What do you mean, bronze?
Was that General Patton or George C. Scott?
I think it was George C. Scott. It was me doing George C. Scott doing General Patton. He was a great athlete. He placed fifth in the inaugural modern pentathlon, swimming, riding, fencing, running, and shooting at the 1912 Games in Stockholm, Sweden.
Cool.
Let's see if there's any else you might know. I actually know this guy personally. Tom McMillan played the NBA for a while.
Sure.
Tom McMillan was an Olympian. He was an NBA basketball player, and he played with Doug Collins on that controversial 72 team that beat the Russians, and then the Russians were given two extra seconds.
And then he went on to play for the Buffalo Braves, I believe.
And the Washington Bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were they the Baltimore Bullets then?
They were probably the Baltimore Bullets.
Yeah. So
and
there you go.
They became the Washington Bullets and the Washington Wizards.
Because you don't just come to the show for information and entertainment. You come to the show to be fascinated.
Yes, right. Indeed.
Kind of known Olympian. This is from the 630. This woman did not include her name. However, she sent us a picture when she was working for Oprah in 2010 of her and Shaun White in Shaun White's gold medals.
Hey, cool.
I'd like to put this into the record, Exhibit 1A, and there it is for you.
File that. Thank you so much.
There you go. All right, we'll come back with others. Oh, can I take Sue before the break? Let's do that. Sue in River Forest. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good.
Do you kind of know an Olympian?
Kind of, sort of.
All right, what do you got?
So I know Mary Vandeveld's nephew was an Olympian.
Mary Vandeveld's nephew or cousin, Mary Vandeveld?
Cousin.
Well, let me go to Mary Vandeveld on this. She may know. do you have a nephew that was Olympian as well?
Well, my cousin John and his son, who would be my second cousin, his son John Christian. So John and Christian were both Olympians.
John Vandeveld and Christian Vandeveld.
Yes, they were both Olympians.
And you know them, Sue?
I knew of somewhat of that connection with Mary. My son used to play hockey with Mary's nephew.
That's Alex Toshin. That's Alex.
It.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Alex Toshin.
So my son used to play hockey with Alex,
okay,
who would be a cousin to the Olympian.
How about that? It's
correct.
Almost like you're at the games.
It's like she won the medal, kind of.
So let's remind everyone, your son played hockey with Mary's nephew, who's directly related to Christian Vandeveld.
There you go.
Yes. That's it.
That's like 25 degrees of separation.
Yeah, that is incredible, yes. Sue. Sue, I got goosebumps. You know what I thought she was going to say? And by the way, prizes for Sue out there.
That's awesome.
Thought Sue was going to say, I know Mary Vandeveld, and she has people who are Olympians.
Yeah. That would be a closer degree.
Be acceptable.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it'd be acceptable. John in Lake Geneva. Charlie, hold on if you can. We'll grab you guys before the news at 9 at CLTV joins us.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Here's a few more. These are texters now from the 815. I went to high school with Brad Guzan at Providence Catholic.
Oh, perfect.
That's a goalie for the United States.
Yeah.
You didn't know that.
No, I had no idea.
No, you had no idea.
I didn't. That's neat, though.
6-year-old, my grandson was training with a swim team that sort of feeds into the Olympic team.
Okay, got it.
262, my sister works for an optometrist that fitted Peekaboo Street with contacts.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
My sister, though, said she was, and this is a direct quote from the listener, a crab ass.
Oh. Yeah.
Not an Olympic sport.
Maybe a bad day.
847, my second cousin made Olympic trials in gymnastics several years ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
224, I was once in line behind Dan Jansen at Century Foods in West Allis, Wisconsin. He bought a mop and a grapefruit.
weren't you behind someone in line one time at the Walgreens, too? Some famous soccer player? And you came in and you said, oh, I know him. And we deduced that you were just in line behind him.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Maybe he's telling that story about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. 630, my daughter plays hockey. And she had Kendall Coyne at two of her practices over the past two seasons. Let me go to Joe on this. Or do you know, Dave? Kendall Coyne, Joe? Joe Kendall
I do
Coyne.
Not. I know the U.S. goalie, Guzan, that we were talking about.
And this leads us into our guest and our friend here. 630, I used to shop at Gorski's grocery store in Roselle. They're related to the Olympic bike rider. He's a guy named Gorski. Amy Rutledge is here. Before we get into Amy's life story and hanging out with us for a while, you kind of know an Olympian.
I have a picture with one.
Okay.
I met him actually right here on the plaza. Right behind us. Uh-huh. And they were here doing a bunch of, get kids healthy kind of things.
An actual Olympian
carrying his gold medal.
Had the gold medal.
With him. Took a picture with him. And the gold medal.
What's the name?
I have no idea.
There you go. She kind of knows an Olympian. We'll come back. CLTV joins us and more with Amy in a second as well. And some guests coming up that you need to know. Lisa Lampanelli tickets for your grandmother on the way as well. It's 9:00 and the news is next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
So they got these Lisa Lampanelli tickets coming up. What if we just had Joe Romano is our new... what title do you want, Joe? Do you want a title or something?
Your good friend.
Well, you're fine. You're a tremendous friend. But if Sandberg's the executive producer, what do we call you? Sandberg, weigh in on this. What do we call Joe? Sandberg is the EP on the show. That's fancy broadcaster talk.
Second in charge to the executive producer.
Hmm. Your towel boy. Your
wingman.
I think the actual thing is technical producer.
Technical producer.
Yeah.
TP.
TP.
That's not great.
No.
But can we agree Joe's a delight? How about a hand for Joe? How about a sitting ovation for
yes.
Joe?
Can we call him our buddy Joe? I like our buddy Joe.
Super Joe. Was he
super
named
Joe.
Himself?
He yes. did, yeah.
Super
he
Joe.
Said all Joes are super.
Yes. So. I don't know what that means. But we have Lisa Lampanelli tickets. So here's my idea, Joe Romano, a technical producer of the show. Lisa Lampanelli, very funny woman, but not for everybody. Mm-hmm. So what we'll do is, and you can take these calls now if you want, because we'll announce a winner in a few minutes. Seventh caller to tell you a dirty joke that we can't air on the air.
No.
So I'll look through the producer's booth. You'll be laughing inappropriately, and then we won't be able to do the joke. But you'll go, yeah, this person told us a dirty joke. It was solid.
Okay, I'll it with Sandberg first.
Okay, good. Good. Amy Rutledge is here. Tell me about the babies.
Oh, they're good. They're 9 months. They are huge, big, fat babies.
Who's the oldest?
Miles by 60 seconds.
60 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the normal split for twins?
You know, they're C-section, so I think that's why.
Okay.
Yeah. They grab one, then they grab the other one.
So really, it could have gone the other way.
No, they always grab A first. So they're given, like, designations.
Oh,
they always grab A first.
Miles is the alpha.
Yeah.
Is he acting like that, Miles?
I don't know. Quentin just laughs all the time, mm-hmm. and it's usually because Miles falls.
they're starting sibling rivalry.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's funny, too, because I think you told me this before. Quentin's always smiling.
Always smiling.
Yeah. Because my son Ross, who now, has little Abigail, Ross smiled nonstop. And I remember at one point we thought, well, he is either the happiest child on earth or there's something wrong with him.
I had the exact same thought because he's always bouncing around and smiling.
Yeah.
I'm like,
What's going on in there? Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Meet the real world.
Right. What are you thinking about? Because the other one's just sitting there kind of looking at him, too.
Now, where'd twins come from? You have twins in the family?
No. So identical is a freak of nature.
Is that right?
Fraternal is something that's hereditary.
So what identical just happens?
Yeah. They really don't know what causes it. I mean, they know you know.
How well, we know how it starts.
How it starts.
Yeah, we got that idea.
Yeah.
And your helpful friends, other moms you run into and stuff, do they ever tell you, oh, my God, it's harder? Because here's my experience. Once the second baby comes along, you're pretty good.
Right.
Because you know what the first one's going on. But you didn't have that opportunity to just go through the first one. You got them both at once.
Well, no, I have an older one, too.
Oh, that's right.
I have a seven-year-old,
that's right,
too.
That's right,
so,
that's right.
Yeah, this was my second set.
Has the split been long enough where you forgot?
Yes. Like now we're eating food. I don't remember how to start food.
It all started over.
Yeah. I was like, how did I do this? Yeah. The other one's still alive, so we did something right.
Yeah, right? How does he like being the big brother? Is he taking it all in stride?
90% of the time, he likes it. He gets a little like, you don't pay enough attention to me,
right?
You know, but most of the time, he thinks it's funny because they love him and he can make them laugh. So,
yeah.
Tell the
it's
story, too, of how you, because we were teasing this, how you told them apart because they're identical.
Yeah, so in the beginning, they were so identical. And not like they're much different now, but we left their ankle bracelets on to a point where Miles had started to actually like scratch his skin. He had a little scab. We were like, okay, too tight. Time to cut it off.
Oh, so he was growing into his bracelet.
He grew out of his bracelet.
Wow.
Yeah.
But now, as mom, you can tell the difference.
Yeah, so Miles.
How about dad? Is dad good at it?
Yeah, we all can because Miles had a neck disorder called torticollis. It was just because he was crammed in there.
Okay.
And he couldn't turn his head very well, so his head got really flat on one side.
Okay.
And we put him a helmet, and the helmet helped. But now his head's still a little different shape than Quentin. So.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll grow into his head.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, congratulations, obviously.
Thanks.
We've talked about the babies before.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's nice to have you here. And I'm sorry because John DeCoste was supposed to be here. Now, as you know, we announced this on the show. It was unfortunate. It just slipped out. John is the father of one of Amy's twins.
Right.
Miles.
Yes, just
Miles.
One. Yes,
the
just one
with the wonky head.
Yeah, the one with the weird head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And John was supposed to be here today, but it's funny that this came up because there's some medical testing going on for John.
Oh.
Yeah. It's nothing serious. We just thought it was time to test him.
Yes.
To see if he is mine?
Yes. Well, no. That part's totally different. That's between the three of you.
Okay.
Yeah. But we may get him on the phone before 10.
Oh, okay, good.
As well.
Okay.
And I want to say hi to a friend of mine just to your right, and depending on what your TV looks like, your left or your right.
Uh-huh.
Mark Mazaremus is here from Classic Cinemas. Mark, how are you?
I'm great. It's good to be back here.
Nice to see you. As you know, we did the big New Year's Eve show at the Tivoli the last couple of years. 2 years ago, I was headed for the hospital and barely remember the show. This year, we had a blast.
Yeah, and I think John DeCoste followed you to the hospital.
Yeah, well, he had a different thing going on.
Two separate hospital visits.
But we had a great time. We had a great time.
We did.
And we had a great crowd.
I think we should do it again.
We are going to do it again. Yeah. Yeah. Did we officially announce it this
Not
time?
Yet.
Just kind of officially announced it.
It's like a little teaser.
Yeah. Just you and me and John and 1,000 of our closest friends for New Year's Eve. So it's nothing but fun, but you guys are great.
Always fun at the Tivoli.
Please introduce the nice lady next to you.
Angelique Barthel is the executive director of Variety Children's Charities of Illinois. It is a great charity. I happen to be on the board, so I'm an underling to her. But it's a great charity. The movie industry is very much involved in it, but I think we're here today for her to talk about it and I think educate people in Chicago what a great charity that it is.
Yeah, and first off, Angelique, how'd you get involved with it?
I actually used to also be in the movie industry.
Okay.
And because Variety and movie theaters have always had a long relationship.
Sure.
I originally was just a supporter. I would go to the golf outing that we now run.
Okay.
And that's actually how Mark and I met and became friends. Was an unlikely duo, though, because we were marketing for competing theaters out in the Western Suburbs.
Vicious enemies.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So the children's charity part, what does Variety do?
We help children with disabilities with things that, say, insurance doesn't pay for as far as mobility equipment. We do grants for adaptive sports opportunities. And then we have a program called Variety at Play where we'll have just kind of a field trip for the day. And we partner with businesses like Fantasy Amusements. We'll do a private carnival twice a year. And Siegel's Pumpkin Farms, they'll swing open their gates, $15 admissions for the family to go for free.
So
a lot of fun.
Gap coverage and a lot of special things.
Yes.
And you have an event coming up?
We do have an event coming up. We don't have details yet, but we are hoping to do an advanced screening of Sherlock Gnomes. Every year we do these fantastic gold heart pins in movie theaters like Classic Cinemas does for
us. Sure, sure.
And we have fantastic partners at Paramount this year, and they got to choose who got to be on the pin. And so that's our biggest fundraiser every year is these pins in theaters. And so we'll be doing an advanced screening soon.
The Gold Hearts Drive information on the website, or where
yes,
do we find it?
Varietyofillinois.org.
Varietyofillinois.org. Mark, what would you like to say about this fine organization?
Well, you know what? They do things for kids to just make them feel like kids and intermingling with other kids.
Because they got too much medical going on and normally
right.
they don't have that
exactly.
chance.
And it's heartwarming. I remember about two years ago, I think it was, or was it a year ago, we actually for the first time gave twins bikes. And that had never, two little girls with their teddy bears and they're getting these motion bicycles, and
that's a big deal.
It is. It brings a tear to your eye.
Well, and Amy Rutledge, I just didn't think of that. You have to buy everything in twos now.
Well, I had saved my stuff for my oldest, so it's kind of like one and a half.
Ah, so somebody's getting a knockoff, the other one's getting the new stuff.
They're actually both getting knockoffs, because all of my friends are done having kids. I stole all their stuff.
Wow, look at you.
It's called Discount Babies.
Look at you.
That's good planning.
There you go.
So the deal with the pins is you're going to give a little money for the pin, and the money's going to go to the organization, and you're going to spread the word, right?
Right. And at the right now, it's going on at the theaters. Sherlock Gnomes doesn't open till March 23rd. But we usually ask for a donation of $3 for the hearts. But the thing I really like is every once in a while you see a little kid that will just have like a pocket full of change with maybe a fuzzy piece of gum and said, "Can I get a heart?" So, you know, you give them a heart and you're happy that the kids are contributing. And Classic Cinemas, our 14 theaters, have raised a pretty good amount of money.
So far, over $12,000.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to ask you how much.
Yeah. Nice job.
Yeah. $12,000.
We're not
fantastic.
Done yet, so that's amazing.
And that'll buy a couple of vehicles for the kids, a couple bikes.
All right, let's hit the wallets here. Dave, how much money you got?
I have, I believe, $21.
I have 20 bucks too, I think.
I don't have a dime with me.
That's all right. I got you covered.
All right.
Pal. You and I are good. Oh, yeah, we're good. I got a hundo. I got 100 bucks here. You're going to take the pins for my 100, and you're going to give them to whoever you want.
Thank you so much.
Just send me one.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Send me one.
Hey, will you spot me 20 and I'll, as soon as I get off the air, I'll quit pay you.
Here's my 20.
It's like it's a lunch free day.
Apparently.
I have credit cards for lunch, so that's fine.
I've got a buck left, so I'm in good shape.
Amy's buying lunch.
All right, here's 140 bucks worth of pins.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic.
Wait, $3 a piece?
Fantastic.
Are they $3 a piece?
They're $3 a piece.
We'll get you all the pins you need.
Yes, don't worry about it.
No, but I'm just saying, at $3 a piece, the math gets clunky if it's a 140. Let me see if I get another 5 in here.
There you go.
I was told there'd be no math.
Here you go, 150.
Too, right?
50 pins.
Oh, my God.
50 pins. There you go.
We appreciate it.
And that money, let me tell you, so that money was freshly printed right before the show today.
Yeah.
Adaptive bikes can be prohibitively expensive.
Yeah. I don't doubt it.
Just for one of them. So every little bit helps. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's just that easy. So any of the Classic Cinemas?
Any of the 14 Classic Cinemas, classiccinemas.com. And you know what? So generous of you. The only thing I'm missing today is seeing John DeCoss reach in his wallet.
Yes.
Which doesn't happen very often, or reach
in Steve's wallet.
No, he's quite generous.
We always do.
He's quite generous. And while he's in a robe at the hospital, we've got someone going through his pants.
Yes.
Nice to see you, Angelique. Congrats on all the success.
Very nice to be
Thank
here.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for being here. ClassicCinemas.com. ClassicCinemas.com. Joe, who is the winner of the dirty joke that we can't do on the air contest?
Tom from Volo.
Tom from Volo. And can you give me like the basic subject matter of the dirty joke, or is it not?
It was golf related.
It was a golf related dirty joke. And did it have many dirty words in it, or just key
Just
words?
One big one. Yep.
Oh, one big one. Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Address.
And is it the big one? The big one that we're thinking of?
Yeah.
It's that one.
I can't even think about it or else I'll get fired. So that's
right. Rhymes with something that quacks.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Maybe.
Joe would like to keep it.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
We got a couple of calls from people saying, hey, have you got a mailing address where you could send money for Variety Children's Charities? And yes, we do. 1001 West 75th Street, number 153, Woodridge, Illinois, 60517. Steve, you talk too fast. We'll put it on the website, okay? So put it up at WGNradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Cochran Show, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show, and so on and so on, and WGNradio.com. Mm-hmm. Our friend Amy Rutledge is here. What's your day now? What time do you go on?
I usually go in around 10.
You know who we really like at Channel 9?
Who?
Other than
me?
You? Yeah. Thanks. Paul Rennie, the new boss.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy. He really is. Right, very personable. Yeah.
As you know, talent, we generally think management are weasels.
I would largely agree with that, yeah. But we've got a great news director, too.
Yeah, Jen's tremendous.
We do. You know? Love Jen.
Yeah, Jen's great.
Yeah, so kind of...
It's kind of weird to have two really good, supportive people.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't it weird?
It is, because you're not actually afraid when they walk in the room that they're going to do something bad.
Yeah. Right.
You're kind of just like, oh, okay, we're here.
Yeah. It's very
cool. Yeah, like the guy you met earlier, Todd Manley, who runs this place, along with Paul Rennie. Todd.
Super nice.
Couldn't be a nicer guy.
Seems genuinely happy.
Yeah, and he's a good guy.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird, because there was a period of time here, because I got fired in 2010, so I left. And there was a period of time leading up to that where you, I don't know if you remember that, but the Tribune were owned by the people from the Star Wars bar.
I do know.
Yeah. So, but then they went away.
Yes.
And now it's okay.
And now it's okay again.
We can open our eyes again.
You can stop. You stop sitting in a corner shaking.
Right. Yes. It's like we have shock. We see our bosses and we're like, hi. Yeah. And they say hi back.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
Yeah.
Still may be a little flinchy.
Yeah.
A little flinchy at times.
Like I feel like you should walk on eggshells, but you're like, man, I've known these guys for a long time.
Yeah, it's okay. So, they're nice.
I've known Jen forever.
All right. Now, Vanderbilt's listening in upstairs. But here's the thing. Amy still does all this fine reporting she's done forever.
Yeah.
So she's doing news. But you're also doing traffic.
Yeah, now I'm doing traffic.
Did you have any idea how hard that would be?
Yes, only because it's just a mess here, right?
Right.
I knew
so
that.
So it's always a problem.
Yeah, it was more about the learning the computer systems and the people and, you know, where to find what and, you know, navigating a new kind of
So when you go
world.
Up in the chopper, is that a really comfortable position where you crank your head backwards to look at the camera?
That's actually fine because we do mostly breaking news and helicopter in the afternoon. So that's kind of like what I started doing, old school stuff. So I'm fine with that.
Right.
The traffic's harder.
We call Vanderbilt the Roger Ebert of traffic. So how do you think Rutledge is doing so far? I think she's doing so far.
Go
ahead, judge her.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Judge her completely.
You're great.
Go ahead, judge
Thumbs
away.
Up. Yeah.
I need all the tips I can get.
Do you find that people blame you, though? Like, if there's a mess somewhere and it takes them 3 hours? Like, Skilling, you know, not that we'd ever blame Skilling. Paul Conrad we could blame, though.
Sure.
If it's
For
bad
sure.
weather,
yeah,
we
yeah.
blame
sure.
Paul.
Sure.
People didn't blame me, but I got a really weird phone call last week in the middle of, like, all that snow. We're back in the traffic cave. We're trying to, like, pinpoint everything. And somebody called me and asked me, you know, like point by point instructions on how fast the cars were going on the road he was going to go for like the next hour.
What are you, Google Maps?
I'm like, throw it in Waze. Come on, I got some stuff to do.
Yeah, at least we have apps now. We can direct people.
Well, right. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Where you report from at the TV station, and I just found this out about a year ago, that it is like a vault. I mean, it is. You have to go through a door and then another door and then open another. It's almost like a prohibition.
We call it the cave because it is a dark corner with no windows, and you're like, no one knows where it is. It's like this random door.
It's like nuclear facilities, right, with the computer screens. And
that would be a little bit nicer.
It's so funny.
Wow.
I walked past that so many times, I thought it was the wall.
Yeah.
But you push it in, and then you have to go through two more doors to get to her.
It's where they actually keep, like, the vests that the guys wear for those cameras. It is. So that's the only people that go back there.
So you're in a storage closet.
Pretty much.
With
a space heater, because it gets really cold.
And then you get to come out and look and smile on TV.
Yeah, right. Then you have to run really far now to get to the new studio. So if there's, like, anything you need to change, you're, like, sweating and hoofing it, you know.
So when people greet you, the thing I would have think, and I think I've talked to Vanderbilt about this before, like you go to a party or something or whatever, and people always want to have you like settle arguments. Like, okay, if I take Ogden to 59 as opposed to 59 to 88, one's faster. I got $10 on this.
You know what you do?
Type of thing.
You make up a street name and you throw that in there and tell them it's a little side road. They should try that next time.
The trick.
Makes there
sense.
You go.
People always, the first thing they ask me is, do you go up in the chopper? Well, Amy, at least you can say yes to that. But I was like, no, I don't.
She's trapped in a room.
Traffic central.
But you have
a room,
best
too.
View, don't you?
Nice view up here, Amy.
Best view
of
my night.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, you have a nice view.
Well, of the hallway, but...
Yeah, the hallway.
But when she leaves.
But you get to see the sunset now.
It is gorgeous. It is so pretty up there, yeah.
All right, stand by. More with Amy Rutledge coming up. We need a break before we do the headlines. We'll do that now on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
946, our favorite country boy, Big O. We have Amy Rutledge in studio with us this morning. Oh, Amy, say hi to Orion Samuelson.
Hi. Oh, hi, Orion. How are you?
Nope.
Orion.
I'm doing fine.
There you are.
Welcome
there
to the family.
There you are.
Thank you.
The radio side? Sure. Hey, somebody, you know, we asked this question this morning. I kind of know an Olympian. And somebody texted, and this is old school stuff, though. Not that you're old. I mean, you're
I'm mature.
Here's a couple of that I think you'd appreciate. 708, I met Jesse Owens in a coffee shop in Arizona. How about that?
Really?
How about that?
Wasn't me.
Steve, my great-grandparents sold their house in Oak Park to Edgar Rice Burroughs, who wrote Tarzan of the Apes, the Johnny Weissmuller film. My mom also swam at the Oak Park Y, where Johnny Weissmuller was a swimmer. And I believe I'm right about this. Next door at the Intercon, I don't know if you guys have been upstairs where the crazy pool is. There's this amazing pool at the top of the Intercontinental where they shot a lot of...
At that time, the highest pool in the world.
Yeah, and they shot a lot of movies there, you know, if you had a pool type of water scene. But I think Johnny Weissmuller swam there as well.
Oh,
cool.
That's pretty cool.
I kind of know
there's
a hotel
with...
where an Olympian was.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. That's totally turning
crazy.
Into a different bit.
Yeah.
How are you?
Well, I'm getting better, but my leg problem isn't gaining as quickly as I would like. I'm spending more time with the doctors at Mayo than I really want to, but at least the progress is going in the right direction. And I'm getting ready, getting rid of some of the pain in the back, and I'll be back full force, but not moving as quickly as I have. And you know what? I'm riding a wheelchair in airports.
Yeah, that's, I know that drives you crazy.
At least you get to the front of the line faster.
I bet it drives him nuts. I get it. Oh, I really do. I know it makes you nuts, but you know, take all the rides you can.
Yeah,
you're right. And but. I'm just working to get rid of that. I don't want to do that
one
anymore,
step at a time.
Yeah,
it does have its advantages of getting on the airplane and all that.
Here's the thing that I know drives Orion Samuelson nuts. He likes nothing better than flying around the country, meeting people and speaking to groups and all that. And I know you haven't been able to do that with any regularity. So I'm sorry about that.
No, I missed a lot of meetings.
So, and thank God for your wife, Gloria. Gloria, Nurse Gloria, as we call her, because if she were not around to keep you in line, boy, would you be a pain.
Oh, I couldn't get through this, really. And adding to the challenge for her, she's working with a stubborn Norwegian.
By the way, he is the stubborn Norwegian in that example.
Amy, Gloria's had to go up on the stage and pull Orion off of the stage and say, we're going to go to the doctor now.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Right? The beef show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's why you guys are in charge.
Yeah.
Because we're not that smart.
Yeah, we know.
Well, I think Mayo has tried to hire her as a nurse several times, doctors have said, if you don't have anything to do, why don't you come and be a nurse for us? So.
All right, quick economy check for me. We had the correction a week ago, and it's great when a 10% correction means the market's still at about 24,000. Any worries on Wall Street that you're looking at?
Not that I see at the moment, but the volatility is always a concern. You know, volatility is okay in the market unless it gets totally out of hand, because volatility gives you the opportunity to make profit in an up market and a down market. If it gets out of hand, then, of course, it's serious. But I still feel badly over the last couple of weeks that a lot of people sold because that scared them to death, that the market was going to take their retirement money and all that sort of thing. And the thing not to do in a volatile market is to sell in a sharply lower market, because who knows? Tomorrow you'll regain everything that was lost and then some.
Because you know, you taught me this a long time ago. How often do you look at your stocks, your portfolio?
I look at it twice a year.
And that's on your birthday?
Well, about on my birthday, I do it in the spring, I do it in the fall, and okay. I do not look at it on a daily basis, because that can drive you crazy, like in the last couple of weeks.
Sure.
You know, it was a crazy market. And so I decided a long time ago, a good friend of mine who is early in the business of market advice and analysis, and he gave me the advice, look at your portfolio twice a year. And don't look at it every day because it'll drive you crazy.
Orin, they were teasing me last week because I was doing that, I think, 3 days in a row. And Enid and Mr. Cochran here said, do you not listen to Orin? Stop looking.
Yeah, we quoted you, Big O.
They did quote you, Big O.
Yep.
Okay, well, I think it still works.
Yeah.
You know, we dropped a big amount, but we were back with much of it coming back in a relatively short time. So I don't look at it, and I figure there'll be enough there to feed me and whatever I have to do.
Orin, this has been a weird winter, too. We had a massive snowfall last week, massive rainfall today. Any early edge on the impact on how the crops are going to be looking? They're going to start planting pretty quick.
Planting has already started in the South, Texas and Louisiana and states like that, already planting, and some of my friends here in northern Illinois are getting very itchy, saying, you know, we got to get, they've got the planter ready, they've got all the machinery ready, they've been spending some time doing that, they've attended all of the conventions, we're about done, although we do have a big one coming up first week of March, and that's the Commodity Classic. That'll be in Anaheim, California. It's an interesting group because it's wheat growers, it's soybean producers, it's corn growers, and it's sorghum growers. They have all come together rather than holding individual conferences and conventions. They've all come together in something they call Commodity Classic. And the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, will be there as the speaker. And it begins the first week of March. So we are looking at the technology at those meetings because they have trade shows that go on. And the talk, of course, now is what about some of our foreign markets? Will we continue to have them? Brazil is moving ahead of the United States, for example, producing more soybeans than we do. And that's a major change over the last couple of decades. So.
Sure. Great information as always, though. Thank you. And I got to hook you up with Amy Rutledge at some point so you guys can talk about Shanghai, where she spent 2 years and couldn't wait for the American crops to arrive so she could eat like a normal human being.
Yes, they were oddly large in China.
Is that right?
Yes, the apples were the size of my head.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think there might have been some stuff used to make them a little bigger, got a lot of people to feed.
They were doing the Chinese improvement.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
All right, O.
And we're now shipping beef into China. We finally got that trade situation cleared.
Just as you left,
fresh beef from the United States coming into China.
That's a big deal. All right, my friend, thank you. That's Orin Samuelson.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Every once in a while, we'd like to take a second or two just to pause and reflect on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Rutledge is here, and Bill Leff and Amy were just sharing the fact that they're parents of twins.
Yeah.
Separate twins.
Yeah, Amy's and my twins are different twins, right? But they all know each other.
What are your twins up to?
No good, Steve.
Yeah?
Up to no good.
Ne'er-do-wells,
drifters. Is that why mine are getting to be no good? Is it twin telepathy?
Twins at some point, Amy turns sour.
Hmm. Now, do you have to do that thing where you dress them alike?
I do not do that thing when I dress them alike.
Oh, because that's not a law?
I don't think so. If it is, I'm breaking it, so shh.
Right. All right, stand by, kids. One thing before we go, and it's this. The Chicago Auto Show might be over, but Auto Show Bonus Cash lives on. By the way, keep an eye, Amy, if you would, on Dave and Andrea for this. Big savings. Make your move. No time to procrastinate. Use your Auto Show Bonus Cash to get $4,000 in total cash on the new Chevy Equinox. You could even look at a Chevy Tahoe.
White lightning.
Do it now. Amy, do it now.
We don't.
White lightning?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
We don't know why it happened.
Amy, don't listen to Bill. Yeah. Can I just tell you that right now? Don't take advice from him.
That's better coming from Amy.
You can also get $10,600 in total savings on 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab All-Star. People wait all year to take advantage of Auto Show Bonus Cash. Chevy's got you coming and going. If you went to the Auto Show and you checked out the great Chevy lineup, now you can go and buy your Chevy. The Chevy Auto Showdown. Auto Show Bonus Cash. You better hurry. It ends February 28th. No excuses. Well, I guess we're going to have to put you and the father of one of your twins, John DeCoste, together at another time.
He's hiding.
But it's not the first time that he has left you in the lurch.
Left me in the lurch. I had all the heavy lifting.
Now
he's just claiming.
That's exactly right. It's just not right.
Yeah,
Now, that adorable picture you showed us of the twins, is that up on your social?
It's on my Instagram and on my Facebook page, yeah.
What's the handle for
Amy Rutledge WGN.
Did you come up with that yourself?
I did. Yeah, so creative.
good for you. I appreciate you coming over.
Yeah, thanks,
you're
guys.
Welcome
so
here
fun.
Anytime.
I love it. It's great.
Anytime you just want to make some excuse and tell
to
your husband.
To leave early?
Yeah, tell your husband right. It's your turn.
Yeah.
Just come on over and
take
hang
all three.
Out with
I'll
us.
Be back. It's fine.
That's how we met Bill.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, he just came in one
he doesn't
day.
Work here.
No.
Are you on TV today?
I am on TV today. We'll see you at 4, 5, and 6.
All right. Amy Rutledge, thank you. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.